Good afternoon or good evening, I don't know exactly, you, whatever fits. I am going to try to speak in English. I hope I'm fluent enough to be understood. And to save some time, I'm going to read more than I should my notes. I was announced that I would talk about truth and lies, about Cuban democracy and human rights. Though the military threats and the economic blockade have been the heaviest burdens on the Cuban Revolution along more than 45 years, in many ways the global media campaign against the island's social, political, and economical project has been as harmful and painful if you realize that to what great extent all the disinformation and false assumptions people make about Cuba have really penetrated in their psyches. Not only in the United States, but all over the world, the information on Cuba has been constantly omitted or manipulated. Throughout the world, major radio and television networks, newspapers, magazines, news agencies, printing houses have been for many years generously stimulated or strongly boycotted in terms of publicity or otherwise, according to their participation or not in the huge campaign. Hundreds of publications in several countries have been condemned to closure just for publishing or not publishing materials related to the Cuban Revolution. Many billions of dollars from the American taxpayers have been used to pay thousands of corrupted journalists who make a living from the National Endowment for Democracy Foundation and several other fake institutions run by the CIA and other U.S. secret services by just writing articles against the Cuban Revolution. In its multi-billionaire, 46-year-old, hostile media campaign against Cuba, the U.S. ruling class has always insisted in demonstrating the incompatibility of the island's political system established in its constitution with the internationally accepted norms regarding democracy, putting into doubt the Cuban political and electoral system, and trying to create the image of a narrow-minded Cuban political scheme where the least diversity or political plurality is excluded. In the island, in the first 25 or 30 years after the victory of the revolution in 1959, the funds for the public publicity campaign against the Cuban Revolution used to be sourced in a secret manner through the CIA and other covert services, but in the last decade, they have been publicly assigned by Congress. These funds are allotted for the recruitment, organization, and financing of various small anti-revolutionary groups which are portrayed as political opposition inside the country. Political parties with not very original names, liberal, democratic, republican, Christian Democrat, social democrat, and human rights organizations, libraries, news agencies, and many other groups with scarcely two or three persons in each one, all of them in the payroll of the U.S. interest section or paid by the CIA through the National Endowment for Democracy, USAID, and other similar phony institutions, are intended to serve the purpose of the global media campaign. Cubans have many reasons to reject a U.S.-imposed style of corrupted democracy. First and foremost, because such a style of government, identical to its own, existed in Cuba from 1902 until 1959, and therefore Cubans know what it meant. Cuba has lived the sad experience of the multi-party and representative system prescribed for it by the United States. Such a system brought its external dependence, corruption, illiteracy, poverty for large sectors of the population, and racism, in sum, the complete denial of the most elemental individual and collective rights, including the right to truly free and democratic elections. The Cuban Revolution could not adopt such a system if it truly wished to remedy the ills inherited precisely from it. Thus, the country set about to design its own model, for which it researched among its own roots and resorted to the social, humanist, and patriotic philosophies of the most illustrious and eminent Cuban thinkers. The first thing to stress, then, to explain the Cuban political system is that the Cuban model is not imported and never was a copy of the Soviet model, nor of that which existed in the socialist countries at that time, as the enemies of the revolution would have people believe. The Cuban political system was born from and corresponds to the historical evolution of the Cuban social-political process, with its hits and its misses, its advances and its backslides. Cuban political system, a model chosen and defended by Cubans themselves, truly homegrown and authentic, founded upon equality and solidarity between men and women in independence, sovereignty, and social justice. The existence of a single party in the Cuban system is determined by the historical and contemporary factors. The Cuban Communist Party is the historical continuation of the Cuban Revolutionary Party, founded by José Martí, to unite the entire country with the objective of achieving absolute independence of Cuba. The factors that gave rise to that party to liberate Cuba from Spain and impede its annexation by the United States are the same which are present today as Cuban people face an economic, commercial, and financial blockade, as well as other hostile actions intended to unseat the government and destroy the system installed in the country by the sovereign decision of all Cubans. A very important characteristic of the Cuban democratic system is its permanent development towards improvement. Most present limitations for the upgrading of democracy in Cuba are due precisely to defensive measures to which the country is forced by the continuous U.S. aggressions and threats. Others result from material, financial, and subjective restrictions imposed by the underdevelopment and, in some cases, due to prejudices and traditions not yet surmounted. It is both ironic and deceptive that the U.S., having systematically used the economic blockade as a coercive source and, in the case of Cuba, violated all sorts of people's rights, is portraying itself as a face in the face of the world opinion as the principal defender of governance and human rights. Such practices are aimed at the underdeveloped countries with the intention of questioning and controlling the handling of their domestic affairs. Interference of this nature, is unacceptable, much more so linked to conditions on granting financial aid or transfer of technology. It should be known that the Cuban Revolution, the struggle that united the Cuban people and brought up the right to self-determination, was first and foremost a fight for human rights and justice. It should be known that Cuba is probably the only country in the world where never, since 1959, a prisoner has been tortured, where never has an extrajudicial execution taken place, where never have police forces used water hoses or wood sticks against protesters. Cuba is the only country in Latin America nowadays where in the last 46 years there have been no paramilitary forces or death squads, no murdered, missing, or tortured prisoners, no violence has ever occurred, has been used against the people. In Cuba, since 1959, if you accept the Guantanamo Naval Base, no prisoner has ever been murdered, tortured, rendered to foreign countries to be tortured at a distance, sexually violated, imprisoned without trial, or in some cases simply made to disappear in the style of the brutal U.S.-sponsored Latin American dictatorships. In Cuba, since 1959, only the Guantanamo Naval Base will, only in the Guantanamo U.S. Naval Base will you find civilian and military leaders that encourage or permit the break prisoners through the use of techniques like sensory deprivation, isolation, sleep deprivation, forced nudity, fear-inspiring military working dogs, cultural and sexual humiliation, mock executions, and the threat of violence or death towards detainees or their loved ones in other profoundly dehumanized and other profoundly dehumanizing practices, not to mention physical torture. Cubans find particularly groundless and insulting the media and diplomatic campaign addressed against their country based on alleged violations of human rights, because strict respect of the integrity of every individual has been a beacon of the Cuban Revolution and a very important strategy that very much served the revolutionary cause during the times of the struggle against the dictatorship of Batista. While the forces of the tyranny supported, trained, and advised by the U.S. military, killed, tortured, and abused revolutionary detained suspects, the Cuban revolutionaries strictly respected every member of the governmental police or other armed forces when were made prisoner. This conduct ended up introducing in the governmental forces a marked disposition to surrender the revolutionary forces, while revolutionaries were known to always resist until death. Strict respect of the human rights of the enemies has been probably one of the most effective arms of the Cuban revolution struggle, and Cubans are proud about it. I have tried to present you the real facts about democracy and human rights in Cuba. Please do not take my words as an assertion that everybody, that everything is right and we do not have plenty of faults and deficiencies. My bottom line is simply this. Cuba, the Cuban political system, is a model chosen and defended by Cubans themselves. It is truly homegrown and authentic. It is not perfect, but it is the best and the most democratic system that Cuba has ever had, and it has been improving the democratic substance day by day, year by year. It would be comparatively much better if it were not for the war situation imposed on the country by 10 consecutive U.S. administrations since the victory of the Cuban Revolution in 1959. Thank you very much.